Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Scorpios Talking. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I'm joined here at the Bright Red Desk on a hot and sunny Thursday morning, July 13th, 2017. And I'm joined with my friend Michael. You're here?
I am.
Yay!
I'm Michael Koberg. I'm a psychotherapist in New York City and in Hudson, New York. And today I am in Hudson, New York.
Yeah, and I just ran into the kitchen because I French pressed my coffee, but it hadn't made yet. So I have my nice cup of coffee, and I'm ready for Scorpios Talking. Lots going on in the world out there, Michael. The world is a wild and crazy place. And in my house, the cats are fighting. So we're also having cat fisticuffs here, and Max, for whatever reason, is being particularly, you don't want to attribute personality traits to cats, but he's like being a little spiteful, you know, on some level. So it's like, and I'm like, you know, I don't know what you're so annoyed with me for, but he's annoyed with me. So do you find your bird ever gets annoyed with you?
No.
No.
He gets never. Annoyed.
He doesn't like Rachel, though, right?
No.
No, okay. Yeah, they have personalities, these animals that we live with. So, as a Max has been, he's been having a little, he's been getting yelled at a lot by me in the last couple of days.
No, Ashby had been doing this thing where if I wasn't paying enough attention, mm-hmm. she would wait till my mind wandered. Mm-hmm. But, like, she knew.
Yeah.
And she would slide down the side of her outside side of her cage and go into this little alcove and start chewing woodwork.
Oh.
And if I didn't catch her, immediately she would start crying, which she's never had an experience in all these years of making that noise without me coming running.
Yeah.
And then she goes running out so that she's not caught back there. But clearly she's trying to get my attention. So, and she can't chew the woodwork, so the instant she does it, I put her in the cage for the whole day.
Oh, wow.
And the last 2 weeks, this is not over yet, but all last week I noticed that she was not doing that. So it took a few months of us working it out, but I think she's got the point. Like, if you go back there, mm-hmm. Your freedom's over.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but that's, she'll do stuff like that. No, she's extremely reasonable.
Most of the time.
No, she always is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, she'll do that, but that's a game to her.
Okay.
But she's extremely reasonable. She'll only make a lot of noise if she's way overdue for feeding, which has happened. So.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, mine are being very frisky.
And it's interesting because when I got her, I got her right when I came out of the hospital having a spinal fusion in 84, and I, Gene got a car with, you know, us driven at about 4 miles an hour because I wasn't supposed to be out of bed to go all the way from the Upper West Side to Abingdon Square, which is in Greenwich Village.
Mm-hmm. That bird store?
Yeah. And all the birds were dumb and loose. And I'm thinking, this isn't, I don't know. Like, none of them seemed to tuned in,
mm-hmm.
and I went in this little alcove to think about what to do, and there behind Lucite was the Hannibal Lecter, the padlocks was the Hannibal Lecter of birds,
mm-hmm.
Extremely alert,
mm-hmm.
But locked up behind like several sheets of plastic.
Because she would escape her.
And I asked the owner, and he said, oh, that one's on sale. And he said, should I take him out? She is a she, but we thought she was a he for a long time, and she was great. And the instant the guy's head was turned, she took a huge gouge out of his hand, right between his thumb and his forefinger.
Wow.
And tried to make it out the door, and I went, sold. So I brought her home, and I was still on a lot of pain medication, and had a very small cage next to my bed, and just had my hand in there, where she just chomped away on for about 5 days, and got that I wasn't going to retaliate, and then that was it.
Mm-hmm. You're buddies forever.
Forever.
Okay. Cool.
Mhm. And if somebody else takes care of her, she lets them if I'm away,
mm-hmm.
until the morning I'm going to return, and then she bites them.
Oh, really?
Yes. I mean, I've learned, you know.
Yeah. She bites them. She's like, okay, I can get rid of you now.
Not everybody, but she. I mean, if I'm not around, she will let anyone feed her. But mm-hmm. if she's not into them, she'll wait till the last day and go, pow.
So she can tell they're coming. You're coming home from their behavior.
Apparently.
Yeah, from their behavior or whatever.
Well, from her tuning in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, so he's like, that one's on sale. And you're like, okay, got her.
So
she's coming home with me. Cool.
She's very, very smart. Highly alert.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that.
So
the world.
The world. Donald Jr. I, my assistant was here. She goes, you're not going to believe what happened, and announced that he tweeted out his Russian email collusion emails. And I kind of was like, so is he, like, really stupid?
Yes.
Or, yeah? Is that the answer?
Yes. I honestly am staying as far away from all of it as possible.
Yeah.
It's there's no good that's going to come from me informing myself further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that category is topped off.
Yep.
But during the convention, I didn't ever watch it, except I turned it on once.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this guy, kind of rabid, extremely angry, foaming at the mouth,
mm-hmm.
Kind of fascistic and dumb. And I thought it was probably some junior congressman from
one of the flyover states.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't. I thought I went south,
okay.
Southeast. But it was, and this was his one moment of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So he just blew out all the stops, and it turned out to be Donald Trump Jr.
Oh, okay.
So I went, okay, so.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's the Huffington Post called him Dim.
Dim, yeah.
Dim Donald.
Donald.
So, and Donald's not exactly, yeah. Whatever. I don't see the point in paying attention,
mm-hmm.
because I think that our job at the moment is to do as your column this week on the Saturn return,
mm-hmm.
was that Saturn return? Pluto return.
Pluto return.
Pluto return. Said, the good news is we have power.
Mm-hmm.
And if we pay attention to that stuff, it leaks our power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have to be intact and source our value from ourselves. And if we engage with that, it's problematic and we drain energy.
Yeah.
My daughter just started a job and she was brought in to create systems in a place that has extraordinarily good intentions and is chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very frustrated at the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we have to really sit down, but I drew a map,
mm-hmm.
with her in the center, and then there were pie wedges coming out in all different directions, and I went, you know, this is this part of your job. This is this part of your, like, different categories.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, this part of your job, you answer to this person, this part of your, and just fill in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then sit down with your boss, the person who hired you, and go, you know, you keep saying yes to people that I'm supposed to do this, but I'm one person.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the places where I'm putting my energy. And I want you to be able to see this,
uh-huh.
because it may not be a good idea for you to say yes to some of the stuff that I'm being told to do because it's a huge waste of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like going through certain people's seats for the past 5 years. You know, it doesn't make sense.
Uh-huh.
So it's that kind of thing. It's that figure out exactly what's going on from your guidance,
yeah.
Which means try to get quiet, mm-hmm. which means don't have stimulation every second.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's particularly hard. I get very quiet, but I can't adjust my energy to, you know, like if I'm seeing clients and I'm getting all their information, mm-hmm. I can't then adjust it to be still. So I'll have a drink, but you got to watch it because you can't drink too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I read a lot,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm in the story.
Right.
So I don't know that there's a right answer or a wrong answer. I'm certainly not preaching to anybody because this is a hard task.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal is to hold on to your energy,
mm-hmm.
so that you can add it to other people's energy who are actually interested in helping each other, including you, so that we can form something that works. Because this is totally not working on any level anywhere on the planet.
Right.
And it's a real opportunity, because as you said, it is like ping pong balls bouncing everywhere.
Yeah, or hairballs being vomited. That was my other quote. I did the radio show to Dan last week, and they said, hairballs. It's hairball week. People are going to vomit stuff up, and it was right on cue. He vomited up the emails. Yeah, I'm nonplussed, which is, I never really understood that word, but I'm like looking for a word to describe it. I'm like, I'm just kind of like, really? Like,
right.
Yeah, just wow.
Right.
And then I'm also like, okay, you know, there we. I can remember when I was younger and we were doing civics, and there was this whole thing about, you know, people being to vote, but they couldn't vote unless they owned land, and, you know, regular people voting. And I was always like, no, you know, everybody should be able to vote. And, you know, and they were like, no, because if you own land, you're smart, and if you don't own land, you're not smart. You know, there was like the whole thing with the intelligence of the population, and that's why the Electoral College and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And, you know, giving everybody the right to vote. And I'm kind of like, all right, I can see maybe there's a need for an IQ test here, you know. but I also was like, it was the first time I ever went, wow, you know, if on a level of you don't see it. And, you know, I mean, we get a driver's license. But then there's all this stuff we don't get licenses for. We don't get licenses on childbearing. We don't get licenses on being president of the United States. There's no... I mean, to become a citizen, you take more tests than you do as a regular human, you know, like the, born here. You know, supposedly you paid attention in 11, you know, and when you were 11 and they did civics. But it was interesting. I just was kind of like, wow, maybe, you know, and I never felt elitist before, but I felt a little elitist. Like, and I remember when I was in Fire Island a number of years ago, one of the guys was a big law firm guy. You know, major white shoe law firm, and they handled a name you would know who had inherited a great deal of money from his grandfather, who was a very famous oil guy, and he was dumb as dirt. And so Tim said, you know, he's dumb as dirt, and he's got millions and millions of dollars, and it has absolutely no relationship to intelligence. And I kind of went, money and intelligence, never thought of that as a correlation, but clearly he did, you know, as a lawyer working for this big firm. So it was kind of, you know, there's an image that came at one point with the whole election that Donald Trump is the image of what people think rich people are like, you know. And, you know, he's kind of the popular, you know, representation of that. You know, this is what rich is like. And, well, and that makes him accessible to the people who voted for him.
Uh-huh.
So, interesting.
When I was an undergrad at University of Wisconsin-Madison during the heyday of its political upheaval around Vietnam, and my major was political philosophy, and I remember this book, it's called The Irony of Democracy, by Diane Ziegler. And I still have it, I think, because it just had such a humbling effect on me, because it said the problem with democracy is that everybody gets to say. So if you go back to your civics class, there are a few things that are bundled together under the heading of if you own property, you're smart.
Yeah.
But there's lots of different kinds of intelligence. So whatever it is, you have to be, at the beginning, you had to have been, if I'm going to generalize, able to maneuver your way to be successful.
Yes.
Right? But that doesn't say anything about your offspring.
Yes.
And that is borne out in the book Power versus Force.
Yes.
Which explains that. And also, I mean, it just is. Look around. So there are lots of really smart people with children who are not as intelligent, and there are people who are very bright who did not have very bright parents.
Yes.
So it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it's not a direct dotted line.
No.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's multifactorial.
Yes.
So there's environment, there's genetics, there's a whole bunch of stuff. But we've gotten to a place where money is transferred from generation to generation. And so a lot of people with absolutely no intelligence have a lot of money.
Because they inherited it from daddy or mommy. Yep.
I mean, this is a horrifying and judgmental and elitist thing to say, but a couple years ago I was in a cab on Park Avenue, and I just was paying attention to women who were coming out of buildings, and I, first of all, judged them as not being the initial wives. This was before this latest round of things. They were quite young, and I thought these people walked like they were stepping out of a trailer. Like they had it, the whole thing together was a picture, but not when they moved or you know, communicated. They just didn't. So there's a huge difference between economic circumstances and class.
Yes.
And class, although there were people like the original Rockefeller, who was not a nice person, I don't think.
No, he wasn't.
His descendants have done an awful lot of good.
Yes. Particularly the grandchildren.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
And David Rockefeller did, I think.
Yeah.
So there's a responsibility that comes with privilege.
David is grandchild. He's grandchild.
Who just died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grandchild.
Yeah.
He wasn't child.
Correct.
Yeah. The grandchildren, Nelson grandchild, too.
Yeah, and then there's Jay, who's the governor, was the governor.
Yeah, and that's great-grandchild.
Right. So, I mean, there's certain families that have a public service a component that really is about
public service.
Public service. And then there are other situations where it's all about greed and about dysfunction made large.
Yes.
I mean, I remember the show Dallas.
I love that show.
And that is about what this is like.
Yeah, yeah. Except nobody in the White House is J.R.
No.
No, there's no J.R. in the White House.
No, but it's just in terms of the class versus money.
Yeah, class versus money.
There's certainly no Miss Ellie.
No, we love Miss Ellie.
So we have to be our own...
Our own leaders, yeah.
Yes. And that's what Barbara Marx Hubbard said years ago, is that we were coming to a time when we forget being given leaders. We had to take responsibility. You couldn't vote for somebody and then transfer any responsibility you might feel to them and go, it's your problem.
Yeah.
Now you owe me, I voted for you. Forget it. That's over. It's not those kinds of people. We have to keep responsibility and realize we are all on this planet together. And if something happens to it, and it's certainly moving in that direction, it's going to affect everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Period. The end.
Yeah.
And there's no attention being paid to that.
Yeah. No, there isn't. Well, there is a change going on, though. I got an
yes,
email.
Yes, there is a change.
I got an email last night. My uncle's 50th wedding anniversary is my mother's younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's 10 years younger than my mother, so he's 70. He'll be 76 this year. 77 this year. At any rate, we at the election, we had a little spat, and he said, oh, come on, give him a chance.
Right.
So he voted for Trump. And I said, okay, let me just give you who this guy is. So I listed all the stuff he did, you know, five wives, five kids, cheating on all the wives, bankrupting, you know, screwing all his, you know, his payees, stealing from students, wanting to have sex with his daughter. And I listed all that. Okay, so that's who he is. Now let's just substitute names. And I went, Neil, you know, in his last name. Da, 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 da. Now, my Uncle Neil worked at University of Missouri at Rolla, and he was the provost there, right? So, you know, he stole money from students. And then he wants to have sex with his daughter, Jennifer. And I kind of did this whole thing, and his daughter's really cute. And I said, so would you vote for Neil Smith, right? And he was so enraged because I said he did all the things that Donald did, and would you vote for this guy? You know, would you vote for that guy? Like, And he wrote like a really flaming email, which my assistant intercepted, and she said, "You got a really nasty letter from your uncle." And she said, "You probably don't want to read it." And I'm like, okay. So she answered him back, and then he flamed her too, right? You know, something about, you know, whatever. I guess he had a technical point, and so she pointed him to a website, which just enraged him that she was answering for me. So he apologized in his email because his 50th wedding anniversary is coming, and I'm going to St. Louis for it. And we really haven't talked since then. You know, we've liked each other on Facebook or whatever, but there hasn't been a conversation. So he apologized. He said, you know, "I realize I was a little out of line with my email." So I was like, yeah.
Wait. What does out of line mean?
You know, that it was a nasty email, and I shouldn't have said it. Shouldn't have sent it.
No. Yeah, I got that part. Yeah. But I'm saying, what about it was out of line?
I didn't read it. So I wrote back, and I said, "No worries, I didn't read it." My assistant told me it was nasty, so I never read it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she filters the nasty emails.
Well, I mean, so, what I was trying to,
but I think it was like an apology coming in. You know,
no,
like
that was the most recent.
Yeah.
That my point was that I don't think that there's anything wrong with anybody's opinion.
Yes.
But it's the reluctance.
Yes.
And certainly I have my moments of the same thing of hearing other people's opinions that don't agree.
Yeah.
That is the problem. Like, we have to listen to each other, because if it's got to be win-win.
Yeah.
And that is gigantic. Change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because it's win-lose.
Yes.
Yeah, we have the whole win-lose thing, and it's got to be win-win. So.
Yes.
But I thought that was really interesting when we were watching the G20, and Donald's sitting there all by himself, and nobody's talking to him. And I was kind of like, all right, so this is ostracism by the world leaders. Huh. It didn't look like he was particularly interested in talking to them either.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. But it was also a what is win-win? What does win-win look like? And I think that's where we need to focus the, you know, because there was a guy I knew who was really good at framing arguments, and he would frame them. He said the key is framing the argument. When you frame the argument, you control the dialogue. So the key is saying, I'm not going to argue that thing. I'm going to go over here and look at this. You know, I'm not going to take your frame. I'm going to give, you know, do my frame on it. And that, or I'm not going to stay within your confines.
I'm not going to get sucked into your conversation.
Yeah. But your framework is going to help guide the conversation.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think that's what win-win looks like.
Well, that's facilitation, so that you harvest mm-hmm. The stuff that's important from each member of the group.
Yes.
And you listen. And you either go, okay, the thing you're concerned about is inappropriate, and get them to come forward and see it. If they keep saying, you know, like, for instance, it'll only work if I get twice as much as you.
Right.
Well, if they're saying that's because I'm working, you know, like twice as many hours, and I had to, part of getting this job was that I had to put out, you know, X amount of money for training.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And then we work within there, and we go, got it. Let's work for it. But I think that's the shift. How do we do win-win? And
right.
What is that? What's that frame? And our, you know, win-lose, which is really what the, you know, we're witnessing a lot in the government, as opposed to, okay, let's collaborate, you know. Where can we find common ground? Where can we find that space where we agree that this is an issue, as opposed to just killing things off? But I also, there's a part of me that goes, well, you know, this, you know, by bringing up the shadow, by bringing up this stuff and reflecting back to us, okay, this is what this looks like. It makes people go, wow, I don't know that I want that, you know, because it seems so draconian, and it seems so, you know, we're just conquering for the sake of conquering. So that's my cell phone. I have a new ring on it. It sounds like a real phone.
That's what...
Yeah, so There is a phone ringing in the background. But this week, because the energy is so intense, we have another week of really, really intense energy with Mars in Cancer. So this weekend is Mars in Pisces. This week is today, tomorrow, Mars in Pisces. And then the weekend is kick butt. A lot of movement. And then next week is very rapid. So we've got like two more weeks of rapid. And then we're going into the eclipse season. And interestingly, the eclipse season corresponds to 98, to 79, to 60. So that was the eclipse Kennedy was elected under. It was the eclipse of taking out Jimmy Carter with the Iran-Contra stuff with Reagan. And it was the eclipse of 98, which was a dot-com crash. So we're entering interesting, you know, and they were all big eclipses in the United States.
So what does that mean? I don't understand.
Well, what eclipses do is they repeat the story.
Right, but I don't understand what are your sense of what might happen?
Well, my sense of it is a couple things. One, it also 98 was when Clinton was passing all the really bad bills. You know, it's a precursor to getting to stay in office. It was my take on why he passed those bills. Might not be true. But in each of those cases, the leader of the country was compromised. You know, Kennedy was killed. Jimmy Carter was, you know, Reagan's men. I don't think Reagan did it, but I think Reagan's men did Iran-Contra behind the scenes. The prisoners all got, the captives all got
released, right,
on Inauguration Day. And he gave them money. He gave them arms. They took their money. You know, he gave whatever it was. And so they funded the other war. So it was very government, you know, and of course, Kennedy assassination, you know, CIA, Cuba, the mob, whoever killed him. And then in 98, Clinton wasn't killed, but he was deeply handicapped. But as a result of that handicapping, he did Dodd-Frank. He repealed Glass-Steagall. He did the FCC thing where he took off the limits on the government. You know, the limits on media ownership. So companies, he did a lot of really bad bills that last second year in his office.
Right.
Well, government. That kind of set up a lot of what we have now. And so each of those years were turning points for the country because the eclipse was on the country. You know, this is a big eclipse for the United States. This is the one we were founded under by Ben Franklin and the guys who were also astrologers because they were Masons. And they were like, this is a big eclipse across the face of the United States, which is going to set us free, change our leadership. Eclipen means the leadership changes. And in Leo, we're all supposed to become our own leaders, or we're supposed to leave the leadership thing we're in and go do something else if we're in the wrong place. So it's an interesting time to have this eclipse coming now, and it's right on Trump's ascendant. I mean, it's dead on his ascendant, so especially the one on August 21st. So this could be him leaving. But this also could be all of us looking and going, we're at a crossroads as a country, similar to the way we were in 60, 79, and 98, when we made choices about what direction we were going to head as a people. Not necessarily conscious choices, but the changes happened that then led us to this other place, right? We're having that again, and to the extent that Russia was involved in any of the first, certainly the first two, because they were part of the Cuban Missile Crisis and they were part of the Iran-Iraq war energy. I'm not too sure what their role was with Bill, or if there was a role with Bill. I think 98 they were just struggling out of having collapsed. Maybe that's when Putin got in power.
Because if the president is gone, then somebody arguably worse is going to take his place.
Totally.
So then what? Does that just move us closer to, paying attention?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then the distraction, you know, if you think of this as a giant con that we're getting run on us right
yes.
now, you know, Donald's doing all this crazy stuff and we're not paying any attention to the shit they're passing in the White House or in the Congress. They passed 150 bills that we haven't even talked about yet. You know, we've been watching his
right,
tweets.
Right.
So we're, you know, what are they doing down there? You know, I mean, some of the stuff's made it to the news, but most of it hasn't. Whether it's, you know, taking away sanctions, companies, whatever. So part of it is us learning to pay attention on multiple levels, I think, is part of what we have to pay watch here, too. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the list of successors. You know, somebody said there was some TV show where it was designated survivor. We want that guy, Kevin Spacey, to take over.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't seen the show because I don't have a TV. But I was kind of like, yeah, you know, the list is not great. You know, it goes then Paul Ryan, then Orrin Hatch, then Rex Tillerson, down the way till Betty Voss is number 16. You know, and I'm like, you know, it really is a vision of what our country needs to be, that and a vision of what we need to be. And then when we do our vision, then we get to change the vision of everybody, because we're then in a position of power in our own lives. We're standing in our own authority. I don't know if that didn't make any sense, but
yeah, I mean, I just think that we have a long road ahead of us.
Yes, yes, that's totally true, totally true. Long road, long road. Yes, totally long road. Now, next week, I'm going to be up in your neck of the woods, but we also have we meet. I don't know what time we meet, so we have to do an early show,
okay,
or a later show. So probably next week, folks, we'll be at 9, if that's okay with you, Michael.
Yeah, it's fine. And I was also, just give me a call, because I think we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
But just give me a quick call, because I wanted to.
Yeah, we'll firm up our plans.
Okay.
I get to see Michael in person. I never do that. So, yay.
Okay.
I'll call you in 5. Bye, everybody. Have a great week. Watch for more reveals.